فلا أقسم بما تبصرون.
But no, I swear by what you see. For instance, the reality is quite different from what they fancy.
وما لا تبصرون.
And by what you do not see.
إنه لقول رسول كريم.
That this is the speech of an honorable messenger. The honorable messenger is the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. While in verse 19 of Surah Al-Takwir, the same appellation is used for Gabriel, may peace be upon him. In the verse under study, the assertion about the Prophet, peace be upon him, is followed by the statement that the Quran is not the product of the mind of some poet or soothsayer. Needless to add, the Meccan disbelievers accuse the Prophet, peace be upon him, not the angel Gabriel, of being a poet or a soothsayer. In Surah Al-Takwir, however, the remark about the honorable message bearer is followed by this description. One mighty and held in honor, with the Lord of the throne, there he is obeyed and held trustworthy. He, the Prophet, indeed saw the message bearer on the clear horizon. Al-Takwir 81:19-23. Almost a similar description of Gabriel features in verses 5 to 10 of Surah Al-Najm. It nonetheless raises the question that in what sense can the Quran be referred to as the word of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and Gabriel? The answer is that people received the Quran from the tongue of the Prophet, peace be upon him, who in turn received it from the tongue of Gabriel. The Quran is thus the word of the Prophet, peace be upon him, as well as of Gabriel. It is therefore clarified later that the Quran is indeed the word of the Lord of the universe, which is conveyed through the agency of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and Gabriel. The word Rasul, messenger, itself signifies that it is not directly from them, rather, as messengers, they presented the Quran on behalf of the Lord of the universe.
وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرْ قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ.
Not the speech of a poet, little do you believe. That they believe little in Arabic is an idiom that points to their lack of faith. Alternatively, it might mean that at times on listening to the Quran, they instinctively exclaim that it is not the product of the human mind. However, they soon relapse into their disbelief and obstinately refuse to believe in the Quran.
وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنْ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ.
Nor is this the speech of a soothsayer. Little do you reflect.
تَنزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
It has been revealed by the Lord of the universe. While swearing by all that the disbelievers see and what they do not see, it is emphasized that the Quran is not the word of a poet or a soothsayer. It is the word of the Lord of the universe, conveyed through an honorable, noble messenger. Let us now focus on the oath taken in the verse. The disbelievers could easily discern all this. 1. The Quran was being presented by someone whom every Makkah knew to be a noble, trustworthy person, and there was nothing hidden about him. It was common knowledge that he was of the highest moral standard in his society. He was the best among his people. Such a decent person was not likely to invent such a flagrant lie as to attribute something falsely to God and to parade his own ramblings as the word of God. 2. The Meccan disbelievers knew full well that he had no personal motive or gain behind presenting the Quran. On the contrary, he was sacrificing his interests in the cause of this mission, for he had abandoned his profession of trade. He had given up all personal comforts and joys. He was reviled by those who used to hold him in great esteem. Not only he himself, but his family, his children included, had been subjected to all manner of hardships. He had been undergoing an ordeal, never expecting any personal gain in return. 3. They recognized that the members of their own society who embraced faith at his hands were completely transformed overnight. No poet or soothsayer had ever achieved this feat. They were incapable of morally transforming anyone, nor could they inspire anyone to withstand all sorts of hardships for their sake. 4. They were fully aware of the limitations of the sayings of a poet or soothsayer. Only a blindly obstinate person could dismiss the Quran as poetry or soothsaying. 5. They realized that no one among them throughout Arabia could match the Quran in its eloquence and stylistic features. There was simply no comparison with the Quran. 6. It was in their knowledge that the Prophet's own literary skills were vastly different from those of the Quran. No native Arabic-speaking person who listened to the Quran and to the Prophet's own speech could ever assume that the Quran and the Prophet's speech were the product of the same source. 7. Even a day prior to the Prophet's declaration of his messengership, the Meccans had never heard him discussing the issues and truths which he presented as the contents of the Quran. They knew well that he did not have access to any source of knowledge. Even if his detractors alleged that he had borrowed the contents of the Quran from someone, no Meccan would have bought this story. 8. They witnessed the functioning of the vast universe, which exhibited the operation of extensive and well-coordinated laws. There was no ground whatsoever for vindicating polytheism and for rejecting the belief of the hereafter, the notions to which the Arabs of the day subscribed. On the contrary, they could observe all around them the overwhelming evidence for monotheism and the hereafter, which are the bulwarks of the message of the Quran. The Meccan disbelievers were unable to perceive that Allah alone is the creator, master, and ruler of this universe, and that all human beings are His servants. They failed to see that there is no God other than Him and that the resurrection is bound to happen. They could not reconcile themselves to the truth that God had appointed Muhammad, peace be upon him, as His messenger and had sent down the Quran to him. On the basis of all that the Meccan disbelievers could and could not see, the oath is taken for vindicating the above truths. And if he, i.e. the Prophet, had forged this discourse and thereafter ascribed it to us, we would surely have seized him by the right hand. The true purpose of this statement is to stress that the Prophet, peace be upon him, had no authority whatsoever to alter the revelation. If he did so, he would be liable to God's severe chastisement. The tone and tenor of the statement brings to mind how a king might react on learning that his official had forged a document and had ascribed it to him. It should not be surprising if such persons are subjected to a grievous punishment such as a beheading. Some people put forward an altogether false assertion on the basis of this verse. They claim that if anyone declared that he was a prophet and his life vein was not then immediately severed, it would prove that his claim was true. The fact, however, is that what is said in this verse pertains to prophets and not to false claimants of prophethood. For as we know, there have been claimants, even to Godhead, who lived long years despite the absolute falsity of their claims. Their longevity was no proof that their claim to Godhead was true. And then severed his life vein.
فَمَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ عَنْهُ حَاجِزِينَ
And not one of you would have been able to withhold us from doing so. The true purpose of this statement is to stress that the Prophet, peace be upon him, had no authority whatsoever to alter the revelation. If he did so, he would be liable to God's severe chastisement. The tone and tenor of the statement brings to mind how a king might react on learning that his official had forged a document and had ascribed it to him. It should not be surprising if such persons are subjected to a grievous punishment such as a beheading. Some people put forward an altogether false assertion on the basis of this verse. They claim that if anyone declared that he was a prophet and his life vein was not then immediately severed, it would prove that his claim was true. The fact, however, is that what is said in this verse pertains to prophets and not to false claimants of prophethood. For as we know, there have been claimants, even to Godhead, who lived long years despite the absolute falsity of their claims. Their longevity was no proof that their claim to Godhead was true.
وَإِنَّهُ لَتَذْكِرَةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ
Surely, it is a good counsel for the God-fearing. The Quran is good counsel for those who are keen on avoiding the dire consequence of following the wrong path.
وَإِنَّا لَنَعْلَمُ أَنَّ لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنْكُمْ مُكَذِّبِينَ
We certainly know that some among you will give the lie to it.
وَإِنَّهُ لَحَسْرَةٌ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ
And surely, it will be a cause of regret for the unbelievers. The disbelievers will eventually regret their rejection of the Quran.
وَإِنَّهُ لَحَقُّ الْيَقِينَ
Certainly, it is a truth of absolute certainty.
فَسَبِّحْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ
So glorify the name of your Lord, most great.